Welcome to Trapping Across America, where fur brothers meet every week. Where we're still allowed to be men, and we're proud to be from the land of the fur and the home of the brave. Welcome to Trapping Across America. This is your host, Clint Locklear, where the organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America come together and talk about what we love to talk about, which is trapping critters. We've got a killer interview tonight with Sam Pohl. He's out of the state of Virginia. He's somebody that I met years and years ago at a Virginia convention, and ever since then, I mean, he is just a dream to talk to. I mean, he really is. He's a super nice guy. He traps in an area with way too many people I'd want to deal with. He does a lot of beaver control. He uses a Hancock traps. He's one of those guys. Hopefully I'm up in that area one day and I'll give him a call and I can ride around with him one day and see what he's doing on his beaver lines, just because it's so interesting to me. But beyond that, he was actually trained by Charles Dobbins. Runs around with Mark Kohler. I'll try not to hold that against him. But that's how he ended up in Ohio when I was up there doing some stuff for F&T. And just kind of, I got him cornered there and did an interview. And it's the first interview with pretty much an audience of other smart aleck trappers. So you may hear a little background noise of laughing or whatever. But it's a hoot for interview, and it's a good time. Sam Pohl, I know you're going to really enjoy it. I wish I would have got him to do an interview a long time ago, just because it's a pretty neat interview. Before we do that, let's go and take care of our sponsors, the Hip Take Care of Trapping Radio. And our first one this week is Wildlife Control Supplies. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call in the continental U.S. at 877-684-7262. International numbers is 860-844-0101. They have proven solutions for wildlife control. They deliver value, expertise, and products to the wildlife industry professional. Anything and everything you'd ever want for being an ADC guy, a wildlife control guy, they got you covered, and they got more stuff on their store than I don't even know what it all is. I'm not in that side of the ADC business, but I'm just amazed at the creativity and all the gear they've got for doing wildlife control around urban settings mostly. It's just a really cool site. If you hadn't been there, you need to go check them out. Second sponsor this week is Blue Ridge Outdoor Supplies. Scott Painter's the owner of this. He's running a special. If you're a Trapping Radio listener, when you check out, he'll give you $5 off for nothing more than putting in radio in the coupon code section there at his checkout. So if you order $100 worth of stuff, he's just going to give you $5 for typing the word radio. So the way I figured, you can type that in about 3 seconds. So hourly rate, he's giving you, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 an hour. So that's a pretty good deal for just typing in radio, I think. So, but I appreciate him doing that for the listeners. He's got all kind of stuff up there. He's got about every make and model of brand to trap you want. He's got snare supplies, all kind of lures. He's got a great video out himself. And he also makes a line of lure, which is Mountain Rebel lures and baits. You can reach him at BlueRidgeOutdoorSupplies.com. You can give him a call at 540-928-7227. He's also a fur buyer in the Virginia area, so if you're looking for a fur buyer, see what he has to offer. He'll probably do you as good as anybody will. Third sponsor this week is Oki Cable and Trap Supply. You can reach them at oktrapsupply.com. You can call Jeb, which is the owner, at 918-429-4648. Now, Jeb's running a special for Trapping Radio listeners where you get a gallon of bobcat urine for $30. Guys, that's wholesale price. That's what I pay for it when I get it from a supplier. So if you need bobcat urine this year or next year or the year after, I would buy it, because you're saving near about $20 per gallon when you do that, and he'll let you order as much as you want to order. So that's a heck of a deal he's doing right now. So if you're needing Bobcat urine, I'd go ahead and get it. And if you don't need it this year, just stick it in the freezer. It'll last forever that way. If you don't have a freezer to put it in, you can just keep it somewhere where it's dark or cool, and that thing will last forever. But besides that, he's really big into the Z-traps. He's running a special all the time. Still has the two dozen special there. He's got all kind of traps, real heavy into the boards, all kind of supplies. Great guy to deal with. Give him a call. Check him out online. Jeb will definitely take care of you. Fourth sponsor this week is F&T Fur Harvesting Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. And they ain't joking. They got it all. No matter how you're chasing fur, they've got what you need to get it done. Now, I've talked about some of their specials before, and I'm looking online right now as I do this, and they have trapping products that are new. It's trapping new products is what it's under. They've got Gary Schumann's Beaver in the Bank DVD, the Freedom Brand Sabertooth Drags, which I happen to highly recommend since that's the drag I've been using for years. They got Jeff Dunlap's, they got two of his videos up here, High Speed Predator Trapping and Coon Trapping Pro Series. They've got the Freedom Brand Pro Sifter. Guys, that's the same sifter. They took that pattern directly from me. I gave them permission to, and they're making my sifter that you've seen in all the DVD. The best sifter, hands down, that you're ever going to lay your hands on. That's the only design I'll probably ever use because it's that handy. It's just much better than the square things. They've got their Freedom Brand dog-proof traps. Got Free Bros Animalistics Beginner's Guide to Trapping. They got some Dunlap Smear Bait, Allen Proats Predator Madness, Cat's Brother Smoking Ace, Green Label Sweet and Sour Sauce. I could go on and on. They got all kind of videos going down through here. Dobbins Lure, Welch's Bandit Baits, DP Bait, Comfort Knee Pads, my Federales, my Monster Grizz Bait, all the way down to a Beaver Project DVD. I mean, it just goes and goes and goes. And it's a neat thing they do on their site because they get so much new stuff in all the time. You as a trapper should be checking this out on their website. It's Trapping New Products, because when they get something in, they put it up here to let you know that it's there. Then you can go through their regular site and see what it is you need to see. Now, you can reach them at fntpost.com. That's Foxtrot November Tango Post.com. You can give them a call up there in Alpena where you're talking to a trapper on the phone, 989-727-8727. Sponsors do a lot to help keep Trapping Radio on the air and keeps me motivated. So when there's times when I'm like super, super busy like I am right now, you know, it's easy for me to go, maybe I'll just do one next week or whatever. But with sponsors, they really keep me on it. So I'm glad to do that. And it's just one of the ways besides they help pay for the server costs and everything for this. Now, before we get into our interview tonight, I want to cover two things really, really quick. One, Wolfer Nation probably this weekend or Monday is going to go dark. Now, you can still go through there and look up any of the videos and articles you want to. There's over 500 videos and articles on Wolfer Nation right now. The problem with Wolfer Nation, back when we started this website, tablets and phones were not the way a lot of people were using information like this. It's not phone friendly. So if you've got a phone or a tablet, you know, I've got a lot of emails on this. It's not the easiest for that. Back when we put it together, it wasn't a concern, but now it's a concern. So instead of trying to get all that 500 articles and videos over to a new platform that is phone and tablet friendly, I'm going to keep Wolfer Nation the way it is right now, but there won't be any new stuff go on there. But so for about a week or two, we're going to be putting content into Wolfer Nation 2.0. So when you go to Wolfer Nation, you'll have a choice to go to Wolfer Nation or Wolfer Nation 2.0. The 2.0 is going to be where you can get the new content that comes out weekly. The new videos, the new blog posts, and NTA alerts, all that type stuff is going to be on 2.0. But if you want to go back and look up something because it's not going to have all the information on it like the original Wolfer Nation is. You can still go to it. It'll be easy to get to on our website at Wolfer Nation. You can use it like archives. And I seriously doubt anybody's actually went through the whole thing yet because there's so much content on there. So when you go to Wolfer Nation here in about a couple of weeks, probably you're going to see Wolfer Nation and Wolfer Nation 2.0. And that's what that's for. That's just going to be a new format. It's cleaner. It's easier to get around on. And it's phone and tablet friendly besides just being PC and laptop friendly. Now, the second thing I want to talk about, and we can say this is Clint's rant of the week, I guess, but it's not really a rant. I did an article on Wolfer Nation, why do I use two traps at a coyote set? And I just want to spend just a few minutes talking about that before we get in the interview. Why do I use two traps at a set? Because, and just like I say in the article, I really get tickled at a lot of guys online and guys that I see at conventions when they go, well, a good trapper only needs one trap, and a good trapper knows where a coyote's going to put his foot. Well, guys, you know, let's take our ego and put it in a box somewhere and tape that bad boy up right now. Let's take ego completely out of what we're getting ready to talk about. We're not going to be measuring anything. We're not going to be beating our chest. We're just going to talk about some facts really quick. First off, any trapper that thinks he knows where a coyote foot is going to go at a set is delusional, or he's immature in trapping. One of the two. We can come up with an option C, but it probably won't be any better than those two. And a coyote is not a coyote is not a coyote. Not the difference between people want to make between an eastern coyote and a western coyote, or a northern coyote and a southern coyote. I'm talking about coyotes are different, and here's why. When you put a coyote set out, you have a family group. Depending on the time of the year, that family group can be a different size of animals. You can have adults and beta males and females and pups and everything else inside of that. Here in Tennessee in the east, there are places where, as close as I can tell, they pack up almost like wolves, where sometimes there's 15 or 20 that run some of these big ridges around here. So I really don't know what that family group is per se. But inside a normal family group or a pack or whatever, you're going to have different coyotes you're going to be trapping. And to me, like I said, take all the ego and all that crap out of the way. Let's just get real a minute. An alpha coyote, male or female, a dominant coyote that's been around the block a little bit and has got some experience in the world, is not going to work a trap like a dumb pup. Dumb pups are like teenagers. They walk straight up because they don't think anything can happen to them. Does that sound familiar? If you know a teenager, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They don't believe in risk because nothing has ever happened to them, therefore nothing can ever happen to them. So you've got an adult coyote that's going to react different than a pup coyote. You're also going to have coyotes that's been around trapping pressure. A coyote in Texas, where I'm at down in South Texas, where they're snared, trapped, M44, poisoned, helicopter, airplane, called, and probably some other stuff I can't say on the radio, on a constant basis, 365 days out of the year, those coyotes are under pressure. Those coyotes do not act the same as they do here in the east. These are a lot easier to catch here because these have not been grown up in pressure year round. Most coyotes that people are going to be listening to this at get pressure for maybe a month a year. Once that pressure's gone, they go back to the real world of 11 months of just every night if someone sees one, they take a pop shot at them or something. Different world. Those coyotes react different down there to sets than they do here because of pressure. So we got adult coyotes, we got young and dumb coyotes, we got coyotes that understand pressure, and we got coyotes that are pretty much virgin to the trapping game except for maybe a month or 2 weeks out of the year. You've also got coyotes that's probably been snapped in fox traps and coon traps and stuff like that. You got coyotes that are just naturally skittish, and you got coyotes that are naturally bold. The species of the coyote has a lot to do with it. An alpha male is just like any other male, full of testosterone. You put a challenge up, he walks up there with his chest sticking out, and he ain't going to be afraid of much. Alpha males are really easy to catch. Alpha females, on the other hand, are just like your wife. Show them a threat, she runs away, grabs the kids, goes to the back of the house. Man steps out on the front porch, heads it head on. That's the difference between the male and the female. So when you put a trap out, this is why it's so funny when someone says, you know what, where the foot's going to go. Which one of those coyotes are going to show up at the set? Which one of those coyotes are going to show up at the set? You don't know. I don't care how long you've been trapping. If it's an adult coyote or a pup coyote. Most coyote sets are set up for pup coyotes. How do I know this? Very simple. You go with any high-rolling fur trapper that puts his trap out front, his percentage of adults to pups is very, 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 very low. Which means he does catch a few, but he's catching probably over 80% pups, because that's the way the set's constructed, because a pup is a certain type of coyote that'll come up to the front of a set more like a house dog. Now, if you got a big coyote population and you're just going for numbers and fur, there's nothing wrong with set trapping that way. Me, because of my control background in coyotes and predator control, I don't think that way. If a coyote comes up to the set, whether it's a pup or an adult, a skittish one, someone that's been under pressure, not been under pressure, all of the above, I'm going to have a trap that'll catch each one of those coyotes. Or at least have a shot at catching those coyotes. The coyotes that are used to not having pressure, they'll come up to the front. Pups will come up to the front. Adult coyotes that are skittish, have a lot of pressure, stuff like that, they treat the set a lot different, and they try to sneak up on it normally from the back or from the side, and they use cover like a cat to get there. So, why do I use two traps at a set? I want one in the front to catch the pups. I want one in the back or the side, depending on the geographical area that I'm setting the trap at, to catch the adults and the skittish coyotes. If I put a set out, I don't know which coyote's going to show up. All I know is when one of them shows up, it's going home with me. That's why I use two traps. Can I catch coyotes with a single trap? Absolutely. Can I catch coyotes in the front of the hole? Absolutely. Can I catch them just in the back of the hole? Absolutely. My question is, why would I limit my success? And that's a question you need to ask. If you're just fur trapping, like I said, with a big number of coyotes, and you want to go the route of just catching the cream and running, per se, there's nothing wrong with that. But if someone has you on their property because they have you there because they want more deer and turkey, and you're just taking the pups, you're not doing them justice. When you're at a set, you can put traps on drags. You can catch doubles at a single set. It means you have less energy in the set. You can pick the best spot to put the set. You can pick the best places to put the traps at the set. And you can go about your business. Just for anybody out there that thinks I got to take two traps to catch a coyote, you ever come with me on a control job where I'm getting paid to catch coyotes, and I think there's three or four ways a coyote can get to that set, I'll have three or four different traps around a dirt hole. I don't play fair. I don't look at this as a sporting expedition. Only thing I care about is production. So if I got the set and the lure and the bait on the right travel way or location and a coyote shows up, I want to make sure that I catch him. Period. And it doesn't take me that much longer to put two traps at a set than one. It usually takes more digging a hole and everything else. Because part of the reason that I can get away with that, guys, is I'm using a gas-powered auger to dig dirt holes and put my trap beds in with. I'm using the drags instead of bending stakes. When I catch animals, because they're on drags, they're not tearing my set up. I just go put it back in the bed and sift over it again. So me putting out multiple traps is probably not too much more time than people putting out single traps with a stake. It's just the way it is. But think about, with your ego wrapped up in the box, what are you trying to trap? And whatever your answer is fine. But if you're trying to catch all the coyotes that come up to your set, or you're in an area that's got a lot of pressure, start thinking about the other coyotes that a normal standard dirt hole is not constructed to catch. That's what I wanted to try to say in the article on Wolfer Nation. And you can go see it. It's about a week or two ago, I guess, I put that up there. But that's just on my mind today because I had somebody else make a snide remark to me in an email. And I'm just thinking about that going, how delusional is that guy to say something like that? Or you think he knows the animal or which animal is going to show up that well that he knows exactly where he's going to put his foot. So I guess it did turn into a little bit of rant after all. Well, let's go ahead and get to our interview with Sam Pohl, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Well, let's lock and load. Okay, Sam, for people that don't know you outside of Virginia, I'm assuming that's pretty much where you've trapped. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go and introduce yourself and where you're from?
Sam Poles from Hume, Virginia.
Hume.
H-U-M-E.
Okay. And where's that? Is that where you live or is that where you were raised?
Both. That's where I live right now, currently.
So you've stayed in one place all this time?
Pretty much. I was raised in Warrington, then after I got married, I moved to Hume. But my family has we had a 300-acre beef farm there.
Okay.
So I was always in Hume.
You know the world's bigger than that, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
48.
48. And when did you start trapping?
Almost 30 years ago.
30 years, and that was in Virginia?
Yes.
And how did you get started into trapping?
A good friend of mine, Skip Levi, first started me into trapping.
Did he approach you or did you approach him?
We worked together for the local county, and he worked in the print shop and I was a mail carrier for the interoffice mail. And when I would go in this print shop, we would talk about hunting and fishing because that's all I knew. And then he introduced me to trapping, and I went with him a few times, and from there it's history.
So what was your first sets like? Do you remember?
Messy? Yes.
So, well, mine are still messy.
I can remember a lot of times I would catch squirrels. I didn't have enough paying attention. Just a lot of small, finer details. Didn't know where the location was. A lot of things. So I guess the beginning trapper.
Well, we have the peanut gallery in front of us tonight. Scott Adams, Mark Kohler, everybody's out here. So now you came up with Mark.
Yes, sir.
And you met Mark with Charlie Dobbins.
Yes.
Now this is when Mark says you was a skinny stud, is that right?
He was.
A skinny stud, and he was taking instruction from Charlie.
Yes.
And what was that like?
Overwhelming.
Because of information or personality?
The information that man probably forgot more than I'll ever know. But what he was teaching me, it was, I come from a guy that's never really trapped, didn't know a lot about the history of trapping. It was very, or sets, it was very overwhelming.
So, you know, so you took it from him twice?
I did land trapping the first and water trapping the second.
And which one was more overwhelming to you?
The land trapping, because that was when I was new in the trapping.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't have any background.
Well, one thing from watching, I've only met Charlie once, and he just kind of jerked a trap out of my hand and started working on it. I didn't know who he was at the time, but watching his videos, it seemed like, and tell me if I'm wrong, but in his videos, I get the impression that he tries to physically put his brain inside of the animal he's trapping. I mean, to the point of if he pulls a piece of bait out, should it or should it not be on the ground? I mean, it was really detailed in the way he was thinking about things.
Yes. That was one of his quotes, basically, is you need to think like them you're after. So, yes.
And when you were taking it with him, did your catch go way up, or did you get to trap that much after that?
It was several years later that my catch improved, because my thing is I knew how to set the traps, I knew how the trap operated, but I didn't know location.
Okay.
So once I learned how to pick location with the help of Mr. Kohler over there, it did. It skyrocketed.
Well, he told me he lied to you all these years. Did Charlie not go over locations a lot?
He did, but again, let's go back to overwhelming. You know, you're taking in all this information, and being new again, I didn't. It's like not having the background. He was giving me the information, but I didn't know the background of trapping.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right. So when you went on the second time with him doing the water trapping, how many years apart were that?
Probably 3 or 4 years apart.
3 or 4. So you had 3 or 4 more seasons.
Yes.
And the location's a little bit easier because it's in the water, of course. And What was that like being with him in the water all day? I mean, was it a lot of different stuff, or was it repetitive and he had a system, or was it just
We went over everything, mink, coon, beaver, and at that point, I was more interested in beaver because that's what we had a lot of. So I did not pay attention in detail to the other animals as I did the beaver, because that was my primary interest.
You kick yourself when you think about that now?
I do, but one thing that I do quite frequently, or every year before the season comes, I have his videos. So I'll go back and look at those just to do a refresher, especially when it comes to coon and mink, because I don't really target them.
Okay, so you're a fireman.
Yes.
And then how long you been a fireman?
Oh, approaching 30 years.
Now, don't you know fire's hot?
Yes.
And it could hurt.
It could.
So why do you want to be a fireman?
I fell into it.
The fire or the fire?
Fell into the fire. Yes. An interesting story. When I was 17, my neighbor, I had a wino as a neighbor, and he lived in a shed, and it caught on fire, and he was in there, and I pulled him out. So believe it or not, that kind of like, that was rewarding. I was in Boy Scouts at the time, so I was recognized for all of that, and I said, that might be an interesting career. So I pursued it.
Have you enjoyed doing that all these years?
Best job I ever had.
Now, Mark was saying, you know, like you work for a day and you get a month off or something, so you can do all this other trapping. Is that kind of what your schedule's like?
We work 3 24-hour days, and then we have 4 days off in a row after you work your third shift day.
Well, I've got a question. If you ain't fighting a fire, I mean, all this sleeping and playing pool and watching TV, or what are you doing?
No, we actually, I'm a fireman / EMT, so I do firefighting. I'm not a paramedic. Paramedics, they can administer drugs. I'm an EMT, which I'm a first responder.
Oh, this interview is over. You said he's bringing drugs.
But that's the difference between a paramedic and an EMT. A lot of people don't know the difference. So.
But you're by having that schedule. Now, Virginia's on a 24-hour check, though, right?
Yes.
And you're doing mostly, do you steal fur trap?
Yes, I do that on my vacations.
Vacations. Mm-hmm. But you're running an ADC business.
Yes.
And how do you do that, where if you set a trap and then you got to be there for 24 hours? Do you got to pull every 2 days?
No. What I do, I usually check on my way to work.
Okay.
I'll check my traps on the way to work.
Now, you've already told us in another quick interview we just did that you pretty much pattern all the suburban women. So you can get in. So you can get in there when they're doing things. So on your way to work, what time are you checking your traps?
Usually between 3:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning.
Outlaw trapping.
Outlaw trapping, yeah.
Now, go ahead and tell me again, how do you know what they're doing at that time of year,
well,
that time of day?
A good trapper observes his prey.
Well, suburban white women? Dude, this is getting good.
what I noticed during the school year, most parents get their kids ready for school. Mm-hmm. Some of them drive the kids. Others get them on the bus. But in my area, the kids get on the bus anywhere between 7 and 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So I know they're going to be out at the bus stop, so I try not to be there during that time. And then, after they get the kids off to the bus, they call their girlfriends, and they go and meet and take their morning walk. And that's usually around 9 to about 10. And then after that, they go in. I'd assume they get freshened up and they go on their daily duties or ditties for the day, whatever they have to do. So that gives me a couple of hours to be able to get in there when the it's least crowded around the suburban waters that I'm trapping.
Now, these are serious county people, from what I gather. City people.
Yes.
So you're doing this just not to have conflict with not the people you're trapping for, but the people that just have eyes.
Yes. Yes.
And okay, so you're going in early, but you're not setting that early.
No.
In the dark.
No. I usually set later in the day, and what I'll do a lot of times is walk in and find my locations, and then I'll go back and get my traps and come in and bam, set them in. I have my trap already set, because like I said, when I do my beaver trapping, I'm using a Hancock trap. So that's a plus for Hancock, so that's a plug for them.
Okay.
But what I'll do is have my trap set, ready, open it in the go position. I'll throw it in, throw my lure down real quick, and move on.
So you can really set those fast then?
Well, it's not that I set them fast, it's just that they're already preset when I walk in.
But that's a big piece of equipment. It's not like you can hide that under your shirt or something.
That's true. But most people, when I go into an area, I'm dressed normal, and they don't know if I'm a maintenance man or what I'm doing. So sometimes they pay attention, other times they don't. Most of the time, they don't pay attention.
Okay, now I'm dying to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
I did an interview with Scott Brandon and Mike Seaton, which I don't think you know from Pennsylvania.
Sir.
They all have ADC businesses. And the question came up about, do you advertise on your truck or not? And I was amazed because I like marketing. Everybody knows me knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm into the advertising and stuff and different things. And all of them said they didn't want to have, you know, billboards on the side of their truck. So if you're going in the way you're going in, I'm assuming you're not a rolling billboard of, you know, I kill animals, please give me a call.
No, I do not. I do not advertise. Because of the area that I trap, I think the less people know why I'm there, the better off I am. Now, there is critter control around me. I see their trucks all the time, but one thing I do, I stay outside. They mostly go inside, and they do some beaver control work, but I like the beaver side of it.
How come you hadn't went to work for critter control?
Because I didn't want anybody dictating where I had to trap or what I had to trap.
Oh, he's a fellow American, isn't he? There you go. If somebody, this interview is going to go all over the place, I can tell. So if somebody's looking to get in the ADC business,
mm-hmm.
do you think it's a good or bad idea for them to do something like a franchise? Or would you recommend them, because it sounds to me like because you're from that area, you've been there your whole life pretty much, that you've built relationships up where the word of advertising, you're kind of one of the local guys that everybody knows.
Yes.
Now, if someone was just getting into this and they didn't have that background, would you go the franchise route now, or would you stick to what you're doing now?
I would probably not go franchise. You know, the thing is, it's hard to get into it, but you just gotta. I think you're going to need to be a PR person. You need to be able to talk and relate to people. And therefore, if you can talk to somebody, you'd be surprised how many jobs you could get if you just put yourself out there. But a lot of people don't like to talk to Joe Blow. I can walk up to anybody on the street and shake their hand and say, hey, I'm Sam Foles. You allow trapping. I don't have a problem with doing that.
Well, if you're talking to me, you can talk to anybody. So it's all up from there, so I can see you doing that. So when you're setting these hands, I don't have a lot of experience with Hancocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, you know, when someone told me that the directions say something about a hard hat, I just know how much trouble I get in with little stuff. I wasn't about to try something I needed a hard hat.
Okay.
And if someone's never seen that, from my description, it looks like two big square bands with fencing around it.
Yes.
With a treadle in it. And how big is that? Like 4 feet by 4 feet or 3 feet by 3 feet?
I say 3 by 3.
3 by 3. And what's your method when you're setting that trap?
I like to use it as a pass-through trap. Where when I set it up in a V shape, like a suitcase, you know, open. And I want them to swim through it instead of up to it and hit the pan that way. If that makes sense, if anybody knows what a Hancock trap is.
What's the shape of the pan like? I mean,
it's about a 2x3 or 2x4 square pan.
Inches?
Yes.
So, are you blocking the beaver in to get it inside it? Because if it's 3 feet by 3 feet, it's 6 feet.
Yeah. And what I'm doing, like I said, I'm setting it in a V pattern, putting it in the.
So it's not all the way flat.
It's not all the way flat. Okay. It's in a V pattern. I usually set my lure on the opposite spring so that he had got to swim up, obviously, over the pan. And at that point, I'll put my pan in anywhere from 10 to 6 inches of water. It just depends on the angle of the slope.
Now, I'm assuming, since you took instruction from Charlie, what beaver lure do you use?
I use Dobbin's lure.
I figured that.
Yes.
That's a good lure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll get you some when you leave here. So, have you tried any of the other cage traps for beaver?
No.
So you just picked that one and
yes.
Not experimented with anything else?
No.
You like it that much? You're totally satisfied?
Yes. Totally satisfied.
Wow.
It's a little expensive, but it's a great
trap. What's one run?
Last time I purchased, it was close to $300 a trap.
But you're making like $3,000 a beaver from what Mark tells me.
Not quite that much. Close, but not quite that much.
Well, can I ask you some business questions about your business? Mm-hmm. If you feel uncomfortable, just give me the cutthroat thing and I'll act like I forgot what I was saying and I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So how do you charge in an urban setting or do you call that a suburban setting or an urban setting?
Suburban, probably.
Suburban.
Yes.
Okay, so someone calls you because they know your reputation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hire you for a job, and I've got a creek that's got beaver in it. What would you tell me?
I'd come out, look at it. I have my prices. I charge a flat fee. I do not charge a per beaver, per animal fee. I tried that years ago. And I had one of my clients say, "You must be a government guy. You charge per animal." And then a lot of people want to know, prove to me that you caught that many animals. So without having to worry about all that, I went to a flat fee.
Okay.
And
that's kind of what I do in cows. Okay, that's interesting. In your style work, I haven't heard too many people trying that.
Yeah.
So you do that, and then. Okay, so let's say, I'm really mad at the beaver, and I want you to like bludgeon it to death with a baseball bat when you catch it. What are you gonna tell me?
I'll catch him live and I'll relocate him.
What?
Or I'll take him off of your property. I won't kill an animal in front of my clients.
That's pretty good policy. Is that a law or is that just your policy?
No, well, in the state of Virginia, it's a, you have to get special permission to live trap and relocate animals.
Okay.
The way early on in my career, the way we used to do that is I'd have to get a licensed wildlife rehabilitator and give the beaver to. Because it's against the law to take a live animal from point A to point B in the state of Virginia.
Okay. So what do you do? Raccoons and skunks and all that?
No.
No. So you're pretty much strictly beaver.
Strictly
then.
A beaver trap.
Well, that simplifies things.
Yes.
And now what do you fur trap now?
Mostly fox and coyote, and beaver when in the season.
In the season. So are you in the part of the country that's got all the fox? Like when I went to Leggett's and saw that many
yes.
fox?
Yes, we're actually, I'm only about 80 miles, we're about 80 miles from Leggett's.
You got a spare bedroom?
Got a camper.
Don't take it.
Mark's claimed it. That's cool. So what is your, take me through the mindset of what you're thinking about when you're going fox trapping. Besides the catch fox.
Yeah. Narrow the question down. It's too broad. You got to put me on the spot. I can't. It's too broad of a question. So narrow it down a little bit.
That's the purpose of broad questions. I don't know where you're going. Okay. So, when we're going out on a trap line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You pull into a farm, a turkey farm, whatever it's going to be. You're going to pull through the gate. What's the first thing that's going through your mind? Not counting the people there that own the place.
Locations, because I know there's fox or coyote or whatever. I'm probably going there and thinking about location and what other domestic animals I have to deal with. Like their farmer's dog, they got cattle, they got sheep. Because I have a few sheep farmers that are very nervous about me when I trap, and then I'm gonna catch the sheep.
Okay.
So
when you're what is. Explain what is location to you, or if you see something in your mind, what are you looking for?
Crossings.
Okay, define that. That's a broad term. So I'm gonna pick on you now.
Okay. I love where three or four or more cattle trails come together. Road intersections, farm road intersections. I tend to like off a little bit from hay bales.
Okay.
Big bale yard.
Okay. So I guess the reason I was asking that, when I took instruction from Ron, mm-hmm. I was just curious what you were going to say, because I'm not a big fox trapper. I don't have a lot of fox, never been around a lot of fox.
Mm-hmm.
When I took instruction from him, he's hilly, probably yes. A little more hilly than you are.
Yes.
But all of his locations were based off of either low areas or the next low area up, and when that would hit something, whether it be a fence, a road, tree line, that's where he was trying to go. And I guess I was trying to figure out what you were thinking, which sounds to me like you're looking off standalone features like hay bales,
yeah.
or travel ways, whether it be cattle trails, roads, four-wheeler trails, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you're going, sounds to me like you're more coyote trapping locations than what I was taught on fox locations.
I think they're intertwined. Well, the farms I have, I would say probably as opposed to legates, I trap, we have big farms in my area. I'm talking, some of my farms are 500-600 acres, some of them are 2,000 acres.
Okay.
So it's almost a Western mentality. Yeah, it's almost like you're trapping in the West.
So you're setting thin to win? I hear that out in the West a lot.
I've never trapped much in the West, but I haven't heard that. But like I said, I just like the features.
Okay.
I'm a featured person.
Okay, I follow you. So what kind of sets are you putting in for fox?
Mostly dirt holes and flat sets. Those are my main two.
Well, describe your dirt hole to me. I need to have a mental Picasso
okay.
of what you're doing.
Pretty deep hole. I like to get 7 to 10 inches. That's deep to me.
Okay, we got to get you an auger. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Then. Basically, I like to make most of my dirt holes. I'm not afraid to use a high backing on fox. A lot of people say you can't, but I'll use a high, when I say high backing, 3-4 inches high. I'll use something like that. And
wait just a second. You can catch red fox up against a big backing.
Yes.
Say it one more time.
I can catch red fox with a high backing.
Oh, I love you. I'm so tired of that about you got to have them out in the open. They can see around, all that bunch
no.
of malarkey.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay. Keep going. Sorry, interrupt.
No.
It was just mute. It's like, you know, it's Barry White in the background there.
I do like to have, as Mark would say, a Y, so to speak, so they can come in and go out.
Kind of like a walkthrough type thing?
Kind of like a walkthrough.
So you're putting a hole in and you're giving them a path and you're blocking it with a log or a rock or cow yeah. chip or something mm-hmm. like that, and you're coming. Where's your trap placement in that Y?
I like my dog to either be to the left or to the right point, you know, at a slight angle.
Is it directly, what I was trying to get, is it directly in front of the hole or is it on one side of the hole?
I like a slight offset, and I usually go to the right. I slightly offset to the right.
Have you ever seen the teachers, the night red fox?
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yes, the fox or the coyote. Seen one of them, yeah.
Okay. Well, the thing that amazed me, because that light was shot right where you're talking about. It was on a turkey farm. A lot of it was. Mm-hmm. And what amazed me was how many of the fox, instead of being in front of the hole, a lot of them never got directly in front of that hole. They were to one side or the other, just offset a little bit. And mm-hmm. they never really stepped in where a lot of traps are. And that really shook me up, because I've always thought fox put it directly in front of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with the weather? Because that was some of the nastiest weather in the winter I've ever had to deal with, as far as snow and freezing and thawing. We might have been down there exceptional time, I don't know.
I just worked through it. I mix dry dirt and peat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just worked through it. You're right. In my area, it'll be 30 degrees at night and get up to 60 in the middle of the day. So everything you do, it freeze and thaw. So use a lot of calcium. I use calcium. I don't use propylene glycol. I just use calcium.
Or are you waxing your traps?
Yes.
Yeah? You wax your traps. Do you do, what size traps you use?
Number two, mostly. I have Montgomery's from years. I have the old Montgomery's and I pretty much use them.
Okay. You want to sell them?
No.
No? Okay. Are they the dog traps or the dogless traps?
Dog.
Dog traps. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are good traps, yeah. Okay, so I kind of get that. You're using peat moss, you're using calcium, mm-hmm. you're working through that. Now, what is your flat set like? I mean, what are you calling a flat set for a fox?
Because
that's illegal, you know.
Where?
In Virginia.
I didn't know that one.
Well, it was in Maryland. Yeah, Randy said it was illegal in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Because I started and he wouldn't let me do no more.
Oh, no, we can use it. My flat set is... I got a couple of them I use. One, I like O'Gorman's Mafia type set. Did I say a bad word?
Oh, no. Can I give you a hug?
I love that set. That's probably my number one flat set. And then I just have a standard flat set, or, you know, I say flat set.
But okay, so yeah. So really what you're calling a flat set is more of like a drop-in blind set.
Yes.
And you're using that in the cow trails?
Yes.
Or just where you find trails?
Mm-hmm.
And you catch a lot of fox in the blind sets?
I'm not going to say a lot. As long as I'm on location to travel away, I do. I have good luck with that set.
Wow, another blind set trapper. I like it. You are old school, man. So, do you do something different on your coyotes?
I set back a little bit further.
More of an offset and farther away from the hole?
Just farther back from the hole. Yeah, a little bit of an offset, but not much. I'm probably set more straight back. I like to do a little more blocking with them.
So you're not making a walkthrough style set for them, from what I'm hearing?
No. 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 I'm not.
So
I'm more with my coyotes. I'm more of a dirt hole person.
Okay.
And
you're just having a regular trap pattern then, without having blocking to make them.
Yes, I do like to, in the situations, I do like to use high backing with them, meaning like logging roads. If you get your, I like the big hole on the coyote. I like a big hole.
So I'm assuming that you've kind of studied O'Gorman a little bit from what I'm hearing too.
Yes, I am a, as Charlie said, learn from one person and then watch everybody else and pick and choose to make you a better traveler.
That's great advice, actually. Yeah. Especially today.
Get your basis from one person and then.
Because it's not confusing.
It's not confusing.
Because, I mean, what I see a lot of now, and especially with the fur prices, and I'm telling you, the last couple of years, you know, I always hear trappers going, well, we're all old and we're dying out, they haven't seen what's going on the internet. And there's so many from 14 to 21, 23-year-old, you know, what we call kids. None personal, Brandon. But, I mean, they're really getting into trapping. And, you know, now with YouTube and videos and books and sites like mine and other form, I mean, they go out and go look at how do you make a coyote set in the hole, outside the hole, step down, block, behind, you know, all this different stuff. And then what kind of trap, and it would almost cause paralysis.
Yes.
From that much information.
It is. It's information overload.
So what he said was pick one guy who, and I'm sure it's somebody that you feel comfortable with, and then after you get the basics down, you go out and you start just kind of feeling other people out. Yes. About what they're doing. Yeah. And using it. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So when you're fur trapping beaver, mm-hmm. do you do that?
Yes.
You don't do that with your Hancocks then, do you?
Yeah. Because my fur trapping overlaps with my damage control. So a lot of times when I'm doing, I do both at the same time.
So you don't set 330s or footholds for beaver anymore?
I do. I don't use them as much. In places that I can, I love to use them. But like say, where I am, it's kind of hard. Now, so I can find a farmer that has a swamp out there where I'm not around people, then I can just go out there and enjoy trapping where I don't have somebody looking over my shoulder.
Well, it seems to me from what you're saying, you're almost as concerned about people, about what you do or what they see or how they react, as much as you are about trapping, being in that tide of people.
Yes, and it's not that I'm intimidated by the people, but people, the caliber of people that I'm around are very educated. So in that sense,
well, if they don't like trapping, they're not that educated.
Well, that's true, but they're educated to the far extreme. So therefore, I'd rather not have to deal with that, because no matter what I do, it's not going to be good enough. It's not going to be right, because their way is right. What I'm doing is wrong. So therefore, if I can keep the conflict at a minimum, the better off I am. I personally, that's mm-hmm. me. A lot of people go out and trap and don't care. They feel as long as they have permission and the right, they're going to do it. But you know, it's a lot of conflicts that can come with that.
So are you in a very, I mean, my mind's eye, and I could be 100% wrong, I'm picturing a very dense population of people.
Yes. When I do my damage control with beavers, say I'm in a neighborhood, it may be 20 houses around this pond, and I have to go in there and trap this beaver. So therefore, and everybody's looking out the window, but everybody that lives on the pond hates the beaver. So I don't have usually trouble with them, but it's the neighbor that lives on the opposite end of the pond or the opposite end of the neighborhood that if they see me out there trapping the beaver, it's a pretty beaver, we don't want to get rid of him, and then I become the villain.
You know, the redneck side of me says you need a Generation 3 scope, a 300 Whisper rifle, and you can go out there at midnight and take care of the problem, and no one will ever know you're there.
That's true.
Do you ever shoot?
No. That's why I don't use Conner Bradley footholds. That's why I use the Hancock, and I use a lot of snares. I do snare.
Oh, you do?
I do snare.
What are your snares like? I mean, what are they?
I use a 330 seconds. I'll use a washer lock. The locks don't really matter as long as it's, I need to have 330 seconds cable.
Okay.
Locks don't really matter.
Are you swiveling them?
Yes, I swivel them. And I only use 36 inch snares for my beaver. I use a very short snare, and usually I'll wire it off. I'll use a tree, or I'll use a stake. I'll put a stake in the ground and keep them right there.
So do you feel comfortable snaring on dry land?
Yes.
For beaver?
Yes.
Okay, my question for you is your loop on or off the ground?
Off.
How far?
2 to 3 inches.
2 to 3 inches. And your loop size?
State of Virginia, you gotta have a certain loop size, but I keep mine fairly on the small side. I want to say maybe 10 inches, but I can't.
That's right. You're from Virginia. I got a question to ask you.
Okay.
Because I've snared a few coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're allowed to snare coyotes.
Yes.
Do y'all have midget coyotes in Virginia? I mean, are they like little wiener dogs that got a coyote body and little bitty two-inch legs?
No.
Then how in the world are you supposed to snare them with a snare that's only 12 inches at the top off the ground?
Well, you can catch them going under. I do a lot of fence snare.
Is that the only way with that law that you can realistically get it done? I mean, have you found a way to force? I mean, they'd almost have to be on their belly.
Yeah. Staying within the law, which I try to, I'll find pinch points where they have to make a choice.
To duck real low.
Yes.
That's so limiting.
It is. It is.
Well, I guess it's livable. But so if someone was just getting into trapping today, besides what you just told us about picking somebody, what would your advice be for somebody like that? Because you're going to have, and I know that's a wide open question, so I'm going to give you a second to think as I keep jabbering on. But because of a lot of the younger guys, and I'll give you some examples. We've been doing some footage here, and I did some footage last week because I was getting calls from some dealers where they were just kind of mentioning people are so new to trapping that are getting into it. That if the pan is sitting high when they set the trap out of the box, they send it back for a refund because it's broke. No, I mean, I can see you grinning at that. But, yeah. I mean, that's how the bigger population of trapping is right now. I mean, it's kind of like you've got all the guys that's been trapping, and you got this massive pool that's, they just want to go do it all of a sudden for whatever reason. What would you tell somebody like that?
I would have to flip back to the way Canada does things. You should start off in the fur shed. Proper fur handling to me is the beginning of trapping. Because the worst thing to see is somebody catch a nice fox or a raccoon and they put him up on a coat hanger. That's pretty bad.
That's a tiny fox.
Well, I'm just using that as an example, but people, I think it needs to start in the fur shed, and then you work backwards.
Okay.
That's the way I think.
And they do that in Canada, like before you get a line, they make you work for somebody
I read, yes, I'm not 100% because I never trapped there, but from what I understand, you have to know fur handling.
So you think that's one of the most important... That's interesting.
Because so, to me, it's just a respect thing. We're going out here killing animals. I kill hundreds of animals a year. But if you don't respect what you're killing, then I think a lot of us get hung up on the killing part, or we get hung up on the money. But I think we should do justice to the animal. Does that sound like a liberalist?
No. But. Another question about your Hancock just popped in my mind.
Okay.
What is stopping us from going a little further into D.C. and like putting an intern on that and just setting it around the White House? Couldn't we get rid of some really bad stuff going on up there if we were to do that? Would that hold a politician?
Well, all you got to do is put a dollar bill in the trap. You could probably catch every politician out there.
As long as it's somebody else's dollar bill.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
All right, Sam, I appreciate you taking the time to do this and standing in front of people as we do it, because this is a little different. But as we close, Mark, I want you to say something.
What do you want to say?
What is Predator Control Group?
An elite bunch of trappers.
Come up here louder.
What do you want me to say? It
This is for, because we're up here filming with... Alan Pope, and he kept joking around going, Predator Control Group, who's Predator Control Group? We're like, we need Mark here.
I wouldn't say nothing.
Say it.
I was supposed to say, elite group of trappers that travel the country to control predators for money.
That's pretty good. We'll close on that.